from Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Welcome to Land Grant University's Beers with the Brewers. Here we are recording once again in the Kickstarter room at the Land Grant Tap Room, 424 West Town Street. I'm Mark Richards. We've got on the podcast today also Walt Keys.
Hello.
Justin Reich.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's me.
Nailed it. Dan Schaefer.
I am also here.
And Chris Helderman. We've got
Hello.
Three brewers joining us today.
Three brewers.
I love
it. Two other people? So we got five people, four microphones.
Five people, four microphones. I think that was
It's a Beastie Boys double album.
It could have been. We're talking about Batch 500 today. This is not falling on an anniversary this time, but it is the 500th batch brewed here at Land Grant Brewing Company. It is a plum cherry sour.
Cherry plum.
Cherry plum? You want the cherry
That's
first?
That's what it says on the can. Cherry comes first.
Yeah. It's cherry plum sour.
It's a little more cherry than
there
plum.
Is about twice as much cherry as plum. Yeah.
Cherry, plum, tart, and refreshing.
Ooh.
Suggested pairings this week on the taco end of things. We've got a duck taco proposed by Chris.
That's very true. I think a duck taco, duck goes great with berries and fruit, so I thought that would pair excellently. A little the tartness to cut through that duck fat. I think we got a winner.
Sure. Yeah, the best meal I ever had in my whole life was a duck ragu in Florence, Italy. So you can make that if you don't want to have a taco.
Well, you can just put it on a tortilla. Then it'd be a taco.
Like an Italian duck taco.
Italian duck taco. Sounds good. For chili, we have a cherry chicken chili with Cherry Republic hot cherry salsa.
I think at the end of the year, we should put out a cookbook of all this bullshit like food pairings we come up with.
Yeah, I put this in here because my wife, who loves cherries... She not only will love this beer, but she loves Cherry Republic, too.
There you go.
Walt, what we got coming up down here at Land Grant and beyond?
Well, if you're listening to this on Thursday, the day that this podcast comes out, we have some live music here at the Tap Room tonight, Thursday, the 9th of August, to be specific, in case you're listening to this in the future.
2018,
you never know. Waves de Ache, which I hope I'm saying correctly, is playing. They're a cool sort of jazz band with horns, and they have kind of a Latin vibe to them. Really looking forward to that. So come down, check that out. They're playing at 6 tomorrow night. That's Thursday night here at the Tap Room in the Beer Garden. And go to landgrantbrewing.com/music to check out all the listings for our Beer Garden music series through the fall. Next week, we've got a big event with our good friends over at Jenny's. We are doing a beer and ice cream pairing with them. Come down, enjoy four different beers paired with four different Jenny's ice creams. This is a ticketed event. The 7:30 slot sold out real fast, but we have three other time slots available. So go to landgrantbrewing.com/shop and go to the events section there, and you can buy tickets for that. Still have a few tickets available in the other time slots. Should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a guided pairing. We're going to walk you through both the ice creams and the beers. It's going to be really fantastic. After that, on the 18th, which would be a week from Saturday, we've got our backyard barbecue going down here at Land Grant. Whole afternoon of live music, a lot of good food, a lot of good beer, and we're helping our neighbors, the Idea Foundry, celebrate their 10th anniversary with a lot of fun art and what they like to call mischief and ingenuity and inventiveness. And then
belt sander races.
Belt sander racing is going on.
Races.
They're always up to some crazy stuff that seems borderline dangerous. Definitely dangerous, but then, I'm sure they do it in a safe way.
And then always capped off with fun.
I've done belt sander bowling before. It's a decent amount of fun.
That sounds pretty cool. As I imagine, it's a similar kind of thing.
That's real cool.
So anyway, yeah, Idea Foundry, Foreign and West Ridge, Strongwater Rehab, all of our amazing neighbors down here in Franklinton are getting involved with that. So come down, have a beer, check out Idea Foundry, check out our neighbors. Should be fun. That's it for the immediate future, but I'll keep giving a plug for the anniversary party. It's down the line a little bit, September 29th. It's not too terribly far off. I think all the bands playing this year will be Land Grant employee bands of one kind or another, which should be a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Got a lot of talented folks that work here. So Justin's band did not make the cut.
Next year, though, I think we're a shoe-in. We'll get there, though. Yeah.
Joe and I can bring the awesomeness back. That was a pretty good band.
That was a really good band.
True.
During its time, yeah. All right, yeah, that's all I got for events.
Well, I'm drinking an amazing batch 500 beer. I'd say it's kind of almost creek-like. Like a Belgian creek with the tartness and delicious.
The base style of this beer, it's pretty much a, it's an imperial Berliner Weiss that we had fruited with tart cherry, sweet cherry, and plum. So it is incredibly fruit centric. You're going to notice it on the nose big time. It's very, very cherry forward. You can just smell how tart it is. Just at first quaff, I think they say. Do they say quaff? Does anyone say quaff? No one says quaff.
I think quaffable is meaning it's sessionable.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely not sessionable because it's 7% alcohol.
But no, if you're sessioning at home.
If you're in the middle of a responsible session.
You might want to take words like that out for a spin before you try them here.
I tried it so much. I'm on pain meds right now.
Oh, boy.
No.
And how did those pair with a batch 500, might ask?
Apparently not well. No, I'm actually not imbibing right now due to the medication.
With this beer, the brewers always kind of like to make these landmark beers a little special. Maybe something we've been working on, maybe something we're kind of proud of. First one was... Batch 200 was an Imperial Stout. It was okay. Batch 300 was probably our first really big, really good double IPA. That one kind of had an interesting story about how ingredients showed up late and we were here, you know, really late to do. So that was kind of fun and awful all at the same time. Batch 400 was a batch of Greenskeeper.
It was an extra special
staff
batch,
favorite.
Staff favorite.
Because we wrote.
It was a real thrill to brew that, I'm sure.
We wrote 400 on the collar of every one of those kegs, so that was a big deal, writing the number 400 on it.
Yes. So batch 400 kind of got lost a little bit, but batch 500, we've been doing some kettle sours this year and a little bit last year, and we thought they turned out pretty well, and we really wanted to showcase that and our newfound love of fruit, I guess, and our hop rocket, which also is our fruit rocket. So yeah, we decided a big fruited kettle sour would be what we wanted to do, and I think it turned out pretty well.
I would agree with you.
It's delicious.
What I like about it is when you smell it, you're like, boom, this is just going to be cherries like a creek, just all cherries. And then you taste it and you're like, oh, yeah, it's tart cherries. And then it really mellows out with the plum. And I'm guessing the sweet cherry helped with that as well.
Yeah, I really get the plum at the end. It's nice.
So it's 7% ABV. So this is actually going to be the highest alcohol kettle sour that we have done so far. Like Chris said, we kind of wanted to do something a little different with it. The only hop in it is Tettnang. It's a German noble hop. We just tried to go with a very, very light, soft bitterness just to kind of even things out a bit. And it is the base is just our pale malt and red wheat. So it's a lot like Mr. Balloon Hands, but stepped up to the nth degree.
I think that we had been looking also to try to do some fruit blending. We'd done, obviously, single-fruited beers with Pale Blue Sky Jamble, and did a mix of apricot and peach
before Got Fuzz, but thought it would be interesting to try to blend together a few different things with this. And so the sweet, I think they called Montmorency cherries, they give you sort of that cherry pie flavor. And the dark cherries, I really like dark cherries, but on their own, they can be a little bit, I don't know what you want to say, tannic. They can have a generic dark fruit character. But then you blend the plum in, and it just sort of rounds everything out. I dig it. It's I really like on the back end, you get sort of the tannins from the fruit skins, and the carbonation keeps it all from being way, you know, over the top sweet.
It is kind of almost, it's like borderline champagne like finish there a little bit too. It does coat the tongue a little bit more than a champagne would, but it's also not as bright and carbonated, but very similar, very dry.
So this is a pretty limited beer. We're limiting this mostly only to the tap room. So if you were to get it out and about, it would be a pretty special occasion. We're going to have this available pretty much as long as we can keep it on in the tap room. It'll also be available in cans through the tap room. Walt, what's price point on this one?
It's going to run you $12 for a six pack, which is a pretty good deal. Pretty good deal, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's amazing. I would highly recommend grabbing something to go.
Yeah, I wouldn't delay.
I think that's a great deal for a six-pack of these.
What would we say this is on the crushability scale? Or am I jumping ahead too far?
It's a sneaky guy. I would say if you want to be able to stand at the end of the night, you may want to dial back your crushability rating a little bit on this one. I could probably go 3 on this, but I would have to say definitely ensuring that I was not going to be operating heavy machinery or driving an automobile or riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
Scooter.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
We're
going to
get back into the birding.
Back into the birds. For
me, yeah, I'd say with the just acidity of the sour and the strength of it, I'd give it like a 2 or 3, but I'd tend towards 2. I think 2 of these and then switch to something a little lighter.
Good call.
It'll be all right.
Maybe a greenskeeper.
Maybe a greenskeeper.
Yeah, I can see that from you.
I think I could do 3 in the tulips. I'm not going to drink 3 pints of it or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, tulips, I could do 3.
I'd go with 2.
2 from Chris. Justin?
If I'm patio drinking and have a DD, maybe a 3.5.
Okay.
If the weather is nice.
Because
it is very, very refreshing.
It is refreshing. Yeah, then, I'll drink your other half.
Yeah,
and
thank you so much.
Yeah. Always, as always, crushed responsibly.
So we had a question from a listener this week.
Oh, yeah, we sure did.
We did. Matt Paulson, a taproom regular, always a volunteer at a lot of our special events, and good friend to the brewery. Matt says, I love the beer trading cards and Collector's Club variation of those cards. Are there any future plans for the trading cards? For example, cards for taproom only beers or the Brewer Series beers. A lot of the cards have rookie card printed on them, so maybe some refresh.
Just to keep things interesting, Chris, take this one.
All right, Chris. Actually, the future plans are to hand them over to Chris. He's going to hand draw each card and then hand deliver it to each customer.
Yeah, that's. I've been working on that for a while. I've got everything figured out. I've got a. That'd be awful.
We use number two pencil on it.
It'd be stick figures.
I was
going to
say stiff arm and greenskeeper would just look exactly the same. Yeah. It's just a stick figure.
Okay. My artistic abilities are far from mediocre, even.
Oh. Yeah, sometimes that's all you need. But anyway. To answer the question more directly, I suppose, if you're listening to this podcast and you've never necessarily been to the tap room or seen us out at an event or anything, you might not be aware of these, but we do a little trading card for pretty much every beer that we make. Basically, the same idea as a baseball card with the artwork on the front and the beer stats on the back. So you'll get sort of the beer brand on the front side, and then on the back, you'll get ABV, hops, malts, IBUs, et cetera, and then we've actually started, as we make beers multiple years running, we will add the sort of production stats to those, so I'll add in you know, how many barrels of it do we brew in 2017? How many half barrels? How many cases? How many pints do we pour in the tap room? And then as we go on, I'll continue to add those stats from year to year. So it can kind of give you an idea of how a beer either grows, or maybe a style that was really popular in 2015 is less popular in 2018. Maybe the stats go down a little bit. It's just kind of a fun way for us to both sort of tell folks about the beer, give people a little sort of take-home piece of Land Grant that they can stick in their wallet, stick in their pocket, and take home with them. And we actually use them for our flight boards here. So if you order a flight of beers, those beers will be identified by their trading card. In terms of future plans, so you asked about taproom-only beers and brewer series beers. At the moment, there's no plans to do a different trading card for each of those. If you're not familiar, I do every single bit of design work at Land Grant Brewing Company. So that includes website, tap handles, beer labels, posters, t-shirts, social media graphics, etc. And the brewers churn out a lot of good beer on the pilot system that just stays here in the tap room, and they're constantly trying out new things and coming up with new styles. And a lot of those beers, there's only a couple kegs of it, but those pilot batches, if they're really popular and we decide to make a bigger batch of them, I'll definitely come up with a brand and come up with a card and all that stuff. But we do have some Brewer Series specific cards that we use to allow folks at the tap room to kind of give us some direct feedback on those beers. There's a little rating system on the back where you can tell us if something is, you know, too hoppy or too malty or too sweet or too whatever for your taste. You can drop this off at the bartenders and they go straight to the brewers to kind of gather in that feedback and adjust the beer as necessary for its next brew. And then the little bit about the rookie card. So basically, a lot of them say rookie card because we're constantly making new beers and coming out with new brands. And basically every time that we come out with a new beer, when the first time we get those cards printed, I put rookie card on there because there's no stats or anything yet. And that's sort of meant to designate this is the first time this beer has been available, whether it's here in the tap room or elsewhere. So for instance, like Pale Blue Sky, we brewed last year and went really, really well. We brewed that again this year. So last year you would have seen rookie card at the bottom. Whereas this year, you wouldn't see the rookie card, and you would see the stats that we made last year. And I don't know, that's kind of... Oh, yeah, the Collector's Club I didn't really mention, but if you're interested, when we do can releases like we're doing today with Batch 500, there will be an alternate version of that trading card with a little bit of the different artwork and different style that's available, basically in a very limited fashion. I only get 50 of them printed, and the first 50 folks to either come in and buy a six pack or try it on draft get one of those Collector's Clubs cards, and if you come in enough during a calendar year, you can cash in your Collector's Clubs, but present those for some prizes, pint glass, koozie, and t-shirt. All that info is on landgrantbrewing.com/collectors-club.
Yeah, I think I've seen Matt in his Collectors Club series t-shirt, and he's got an impressive collection. He brought it in one day to show me, and he's got a lot of the cards. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I don't even have a complete set.
Thanks for the support, Matt. And
if you do want to see what a complete set looks like, I do archive them on the website, so you can, if you feel like you've missed one or you want to go back to the beginning and see how they've all lined up. There's a trading card and a Collector's Club card page on the website.
Sweet. What's our next episode on Beers with the Brewers?
I think we're going to be doing Kin, which is a kind of a Kolsch style with some tropical hops in it.
Yeah, an agave nectar. We'll do Beers with the Brewers next week, and that beer will be available on August 18th with proceeds from that beer benefiting the Dick and Jane Project.
Right on. All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks again for joining us on Beers with the Brewers. And we're closing her out. You guys have a great week. Hope to see you down at the tap room. Tip your bartenders.
What a thrill.
I'll see you there.
All right.
Have a good one.
tell you, this beer is wicked tat right now. It's super tat.
When I drink this beer, it feels kind of tart on my tongue.
How the day's going.
When I drink this beer, it feels kind of tart on my...